want us to think this morning for a short time on the dangers of compromise. There is no doubt that we live in days of great spiritual darkness. There is no doubt that it would be easy for us to be caught up with the spirit of the age. And unless and except we are taught from the Word and warned from Scripture, we too would be following after the false prophets of today. There's no doubt about that. And so therefore, we ought to be thankful to the Lord for His Word, which has enlightened us, and His Word, which has warned us. And we're thankful to Him this morning for giving us the grace to heed those warnings, because others have been warned and they didn't heed. And therefore, they too have been caught up in the compromise and the darkness of this day. The ancient and tragic history of the life of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, is a lesson to every Christian in this day which we live. This is an age of ecumenical compromise, which spills over into social compromise and political compromise, brought to a head in the Waterfront Hall yesterday in Belfast. Surely we can see clearly the appropriateness of Scripture, especially in the portion before us today. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, we read these words of Scripture: whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. The problem today is that there are people not willing to learn. That's a tragedy. Even Christians who are not willing to learn, because they realized years ago — I spoke to a man a few months after I arrived in Lurgan 21 years ago, and he was in the Church of Ireland, and he was deeply concerned about the things that were going on and the compromise taking place. And he told me shortly after my arrival in Lurgan that he was contemplating his position. A few months ago, he was out walking, and I met him on the road, and I asked him how he was getting on, and he's still in the Church of Ireland. Has the Church of Ireland improved over these past 21 years? I think not. But situation has worsened, and now he's happily contented in that system. My friends, compromise is dangerous. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. It's sad when people do not learn the lessons of Scripture. King Jehoshaphat came to the throne of Judah in the fourth year of King Ahab's reign over Israel. Ahab's spiritual character is given in 1 Kings chapter 16. And in that chapter, from verse 30, we read this about King Ahab. And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he went and served Baal and worshipped him. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. There is a summary of the character of Ahab, king of Israel, the man with whom Jehoshaphat, a godly man, made affinity, had an alliance, came together, joined with him, and served with him in authority and in war. My friends, Jehoshaphat should have known much better. Ahab was a promoter of false religion on a very wide scale. Ahab, along with his wife Jezebel, did their utmost, all in their power, to destroy the religion of the Jews in Israel. He took away the altars for God and worshipped at the shrines of Baal and encouraged his people to do likewise. What compromise! And for a time, Ahab was known as the king who had did evil beyond all that ever were before him. What a tragedy. Soon, this king of Israel was faced with a decision. And soon, along with the decision that Ahab was faced, whether to go up to Ramoth-Gilead to fight against it or not, Jehoshaphat also was faced with a decision at the very same time. And the decision with which Jehoshaphat was faced was his relationship with Ahab. Every believer, I believe, must decide what his relationship with the world, with false religion, with ecumenism, and with apostasy must be. There comes a time when every believer must decide, just like Jehoshaphat. Sometimes it's played down. Its significance, importance is overlooked. It's not just enough to be a Christian in these ecumenical days and to support the apostasy. My friend, we're commanded in God's word to be separate and to come out from amongst them and to touch not the unclean thing. And that command of Scripture is as applicable today as ever. And I find, sadly, that amongst many, even of God's people, there's a watering down. There's a weakening. Oh, that say to me, it's far more important to preach the gospel. It's far more important to... I am preaching the gospel. This is part of the whole counsel of God. We have many evangelicals. I was watching this week when that hodgepodge of apostates marched up to Stormont. There were all kinds amongst them, and you could see them mumbling their prayers. My friend, that's apostasy. That's ecumenism at its worst. That's deceit, my friend, leading Jehoshaphat astray, giving the wrong advice, bringing to the unionist people the wrong advice, leading them down the wrong road, up to Ramoth-Gilead to be destroyed, to bring death and destruction to our Protestant way of life. My friends, today we're living in evil days. We're living in awful times. And we do need to stand up. And we do need to be firm. And Micaiah was laughed at. He was scorned. Micaiah was mocked. And I listened yesterday, and I heard the media pouring scorn on the Lord's servant, Dr. Paisley, because of his opposition to the deceit of today. My friend, it's nothing new. It's as old as the Bible. And in the scriptures we take encouragement, and we thank God for those who take their stand. Oh, we might be in a minority. It might seem that for the meantime we're facing defeat, but I'm glad God is on the throne. God's almighty, and God is far above all. And while the vast majority of these false prophets said, yes, Ahab, good on you, go ahead, make your alliance, go up to Ramoth Gilead, this place will fall before you, it's all yours, the way is bright, the hopes are good. But there was one man, his name was Micaiah, and he at first tended to mock in a small way Ahab on account of his folly. And then he spoke the word of the Lord, and he spoke the truth. Is it any wonder Ahab said, I hate him. I hate him. My friend, I want to tell you something. In our separated stand, we might be accused of showing hatred. But I want to tell you that there's more hatred in the hearts of the ecumenists and the false prophets for God's man than is to be found anywhere else. Like so many today, Jehoshaphat was in a dilemma. He was in a quandary to know what to do. Should he go with Ahab or should he not? And he took the easy way out. And in the midst of his dilemma, he compromised. And my friend, that's a commentary in these days as well. And because taking a faithful stand for God and for God's ways incurs the scorn of the wicked, it means walking a lonely road. Micaiah had to walk that road. It would have been easier, humanly speaking, for Micaiah to have gone with the crowd. It would have been easy for Micaiah, having been advised by others, oh, speak good towards the king. Say the same things as the others have said. That's what he was advised. And it would have been very easy for Micaiah, in the midst of that dilemma, to have compromised. But he didn't. Jehoshaphat eventually comes to Ahab, and in 2 Chronicles 18 here, in verse 1, it says, now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, and he joined affinity with Ahab. He entered into a union with this wicked king, perhaps justifying his actions on social grounds, on political grounds, on various reasonings and arguments. Being a wealthy man and a prosperous man, it would be fitting for him to have social contact with his rich neighbor, Ahab, and it would be the done thing to be in affinity with him. How often have we seen down through the years truth and righteousness are sacrificed for the sake of such respectability? Honor and right and principle have been thrown to the wind. This relationship with Ahab and his wicked household develops further on in the chapter. And in verse 2 we read, and after certain years he went down to Ahab to Samaria. You can see the downgrade. You can see the downward path. And Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance. Oh, he made him a great feast and welcomed him. And they celebrated their coming together and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go with me to Ramoth Gilead? And he answered him, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war. You see the process of compromise. It may take some time. Sometimes it takes years. I've illustrated at the beginning with a gentleman I met 21 years ago. After years in compromise. But you know, it does develop, doesn't it? And years of compromise have brought this province to the place where it is today. Years of compromise. Started off small, and then it developed, and it increased. And today, both religiously and politically, we're in a state, aren't we? One step of compromise will always lead to another. And I am speaking to myself as a Free Presbyterian minister, that one step of compromise in my ministry and in my life will lead me to another step. And having Jehoshaphat, having gone to Ahab's court, this godly man finds himself persuaded to become part of an army led by wicked Ahab. Isn't that a tragedy? You see, it all develops, doesn't it? It all develops. Poor Jehoshaphat was being sucked in by the enemies of the Lord and by a wicked king. Another dimension is soon added to Jehoshaphat's affinity with Ahab, as 400 false prophets arrive on the scene. You see, if compromise goes unchecked, it will always lead to a spiritual retreat and a backtracking and a going backwards all the time. It will. It happens in every walk of life, regardless of whether it's spiritual, whether it's social, or whether it's political. It's always the case. Unchecked compromise with sin will do the same thing. Unchecked compromise with worldliness will do the same thing, my friend. And if you are compromising with sin and the world today and with the devil, my friend, one step will lead to another. Until you've joined in total affinity and you're going the way of the world and you're going the way of sinners. It is true that he shows some sort of evidence to hear the truth by prompting Ahab to send for a man of God. He didn't at first believe the 400 false prophets. He rejected them and he wanted the truth. He wanted the truth. And Micaiah is sent for. And it is at this point that we begin to notice the sad change in Jehoshaphat. He is asked for a word from the Lord, but his association with Ahab, this hatred of God, this hatred of God's truth, has led Jehoshaphat to reject the advice that he should have taken. He's outnumbered. And he's in the company with this evil king and with his men. And already we can see as we go down this chapter, Jehoshaphat's placing lesser value. He's giving a lesser place to his dependence on the Lord and his guidance from the Lord. And instead of taking his guidance from the Lord, he's prepared to take his guidance from Ahab. and from the 400 false prophets. Friend, that's an ecumenical compromise, isn't it? I believe that there were many good believing Christians 10 or 20 years ago who were seeking, like Jehoshaphat, a word from the Lord. But because they've listened to the 400 false prophets and taken their advice from such, today there is no longer the concern in the heart to take guidance from God and to lean upon God's word. That's the tragedy of compromise. And it's already obvious here in the life of Jehoshaphat. And what a difference it has made in this man. And later on, he aligns himself with the enemies of God. For Jehoshaphat, or for Ahab's son, he was still in affinity with Ahab's son, who reigned in Ahab's place. And he went on not only to help Amariah, the wicked king who followed Ahab, but he joined Jehoram as well, who was also a wicked man. And together they all discovered that they were at the end of God's judgment. Friends, today we do need to be warned from Scripture. We do need to be warned from God's precious word. Here is a man, Jehoshaphat, compromising with God's enemies and not only affecting himself, but his people, his family, and his children, and his children's children. And it brought upon the entire nation, not only on Jehoshaphat, but on the entire people and their offspring. It brought upon them the judgment of the Lord. And friends, what we see happening today is not only going to affect ourselves, but our children, and perhaps even our children's children. And therefore, we can see the awful consequences of Jehoshaphat's compromise. And we can see the awful consequences of our compromise today. Whether that be in the political realm in relation to our land, let it be in the spiritual in relation to the church, let it be in the personal in relation to you and to me. Friend, our compromise will have its effect upon others, and especially those who are closest to us. Therefore, we need to be careful lest we compromise God's truth. And the only way to avoid such compromise is to be like Micaiah, that in spite of the crowd, is to keep our ear open for the word of God, is to keep our eyes upon the Lord, is to keep our heart in tune with the things of God, and for us today to have a love for the Savior who died for us. And if we have a love for the Christ who died for us, my friend, we long to be separate from every unclean thing. We long to be like him. We long to aspire to be like the Savior. Oh, to make us like him, and to stand up for him, and to not compromise his truth, but to preach it, and to live it, and to stand for it, whatever the cost. Even they scorn us, even they despise us, let us go outside the camp bearing his reproach. And friends, today we would want at the close of this meeting to turn our eyes upon the Savior. We would want to look to him. Remember, he went all the way to Calvary's cross, and he gave all for us. He gave his life in death for me. I come to him today. I want to give my all to him. I want my life to be blessed by the Savior. I don't want compromise in my heart. I don't want to truck with the world and worldliness and sin. I don't want to have anything to do with the compromise of this ecumenical age. I can't do it of myself. I haven't got the energy. It's not within me. But I ask the Lord to keep me close to himself, that by his book and by his blood and by his presence and by his power, he will keep me unspotted from the world, touching not the unclean thing, but going unto him and bearing his reproach outside the camp, trusting him, rejoicing in him, and seeking by my life, by my witness, to bring others to know him, that they too might follow in the ways of truth and in the ways of righteousness. I trust the Lord will challenge all our hearts, enable us to make a fresh surrender and a fresh vow, and giving us the strength to fulfill those vows, that the Lord will keep us faithful and true to him in these days of compromise and of danger. Let's bow together in a word of prayer.